friend Mike Reese is on the other end of the phone. I'm constantly looking for a reason to pester Mike. I was talking about you yesterday. I said, I had this vision. I said, Mike's going to be joining us on Wednesday at 7:20. I said, I think he's been spending the last 2 weeks with old VHS tapes of high school basketball calling the games.
I am so tired of talking about the past.
ready to move
we get
forward.
Some games.
You know, Mike has always been a great stimulator. There's still things that I do in this show in the mornings because of conversations I've had with Mike Reese. And one of them, you'll often hear me use the term ownership. And that's how I feel about Brad Korn. He's one of those players. He was my player. You know what I mean? You've got players. And to see this success that you pointed out this weekend, I love the way his new career started.
Yeah, and he's worth respecting, too. He's one of the good guys in the business, Tom. There's plenty of people that you would claim to be your own, as you say. But you do that only because of the institutions involved. But Brad Korn is a genuinely good guy, and he's not a kid anymore. He's 40 now, and I think many of us think of him, probably because he still looks like he's 19, that he's just a kid. But this is his 17th season of coaching. So this is an earned spot that he has. This is not a coveted job at Southeast Missouri State, but it's a good job, and he has them in a good spot, and he's worth rooting for, except for tonight.
Right, and understand that completely. Now, here's the thing. Because we see program successes from SIU athletic programs, because even, you know, that ownership thing, once they've left, they're still ours. Once a Saluki, always Saluki. And sure, if you watch social media during Jeremy Chin's performance this Sunday, you saw that. People are so proud, and so an exceptional performance validates that ownership.
And he's another one that's worth being proud of and is genuine, excuse me, and won't let you down. And to do what he did, now all of a sudden you're putting performance on top of the fact that he's a good guy, and that's always a home run combination. I mean, to get back-to-back touchdowns, I mean, what do you think? You're an offensive player now, Jeremy?
Right.
What is this? And the first one, I could tell you didn't know what to do with the ball when he got to the end zone, because that's not something that he's used to. It's terrific what he's doing there, Tom, and he may be the defensive rookie of the year in the NFL, and that would be just tremendous.
Were there records set, records for Carolina and records for the NFL by then?
It was like the first time somebody had done what he did with back-to-back touchdowns since like 1948. By a guy named Liddy, and all those guys in those eras, or what some sort of nickname that's bizarre now, but was typical then. So it's the first time in about 70 years that somebody had scored like he scored, let alone a Carolina Panthers record.
And when they were doing the play-by-play, they're living from Southern Illinois, Jeremy Chin.
Yeah.
So when you see Brad Korn's success, you see Jeremy Chin's success, this is something that you and I have talked about for a great many years. That is in its own way a marketing platform for SIU's success and a draw for potential students, not only players, but students, 76% of which students say the athletic program has a major impact on whether they want to attend that school.
Well, yeah, and it all goes hand in hand. And once SIU has students, its athletic department is funded better because it's $600 a year per student. And so a lot of the SIU athletic fundraising or funding problems right now have to do with the fact that the school used to be $20,000 and now it's $12,000. So you can do the math in terms of what Southern has lost. It's winning as a marketing for students. I think the names that you see, and we've talked about Tom succeeding. That's marketing too, but that's marketing in terms of attracting good candidates when there are openings, and show that you can do something when you're at Southern Illinois University. Now, not a lot's been done of late, and so much hasn't happened since 2007, but it shows that it's possible when those things are in place at Southern and all that goes with that. And I think that's the important thing when you see people succeeding as Chin and Korn and the ones that Southern hires itself, like Brian Mullins. And, those are for somebody who's been around a long time and maybe too long, 42 years starting tonight in basketball. When Chris Lowry coached against Paul Lusk years ago when Southern played Missouri State. For an old guy like me, that was a proud moment. Who knows both of those guys very well, and to see them get to do what they want to do and against each other, that was cool. It was cool when I got to go to Champaign and watch Bruce Weber coach Illinois against Purdue, and that's why I'm one of the reasons I'm disappointed Brian Mullins can't coach Southern tonight, because to see him against Korn was an assistant when Brian played. That would have been very cool, too. It'll happen down the road, but it would have been great to see it tonight.
You know, COVID has caused its own unique problems. And, you know, we talked about the success in the programs, whether it's Brad Corum or Jeremy Chinn. But we've had the issues here. There are two in particular, and you just brushed up against it. That's Coach Mullins and the 7-day pause, is it, for women's basketball, Mike?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So, you know, yeah. I mean, we've got these things to overcome. It was interesting. I was reading an article, and the headline was, SIU got lucky when it came to COVID during the school year. And I thought, you know, I'm not sure I disagree with that, because I know the efforts that have gone on to be able to keep these programs in their groove and moving forward. So I don't know if luck is the right word I would have used. There was a lot of self-discipline, a lot of effort put into this, of trying to keep the programs on track.
Yeah.
COVID-free.
But, Tom, I pretty well know you would agree with this. I think in life we get the luck we deserve.
Yeah.
And Southern has put a lot into trying to keep the COVID positives to a minimum. And given 300 athletes and probably, well, now probably 75 staffers, I think the number of positives has been good. And so the Salukis have been lucky. But I think that they've earned that luck with the diligence that they've put forward. Now, they've had their hiccups. The Brian one is the one that's especially surprising to me and to a lot of people who know him, because he is all about basketball and all about his fiance. And Tom, that's it. And that is literally all he has done. And all of a sudden he tests positive and his fiance tested negative. And that was the bigger concern, because she's a healthcare worker, and I guess the first thing you thought was, you know, that maybe it was contracted that way. But as he said, she's fine, and she's negative. So I think if nothing else, and oversimplifying it, probably it can happen to anybody and at any time. And here's women's basketball playing last Wednesday, and they have no positives, and then they test Friday. Southern tests everybody Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. And then they get one positive, and then because of all the close contact that goes during the game, then there are a number of other players and coaches, and who have to be, including the head coach, have to be sat because they had close contact. So even the best intentions, Tom, aren't rewarded.
And well, you'd probably ask Baltimore, and they'd have something very similar to say, you know, when it comes to their NFL team. So, you know, Illinois being deprived of high school basketball and football this year, they're anxious. Fans are anxious for some basketball, somebody they have a vested interest in. Tonight, SIU on the road. Matt was reminding me this morning, Matt Varney, that there are tickets available if you want to go to SEMO, because Missouri's a different thing than Illinois. But this is... I think this is the release / escape that some SIU Saluki fans have been waiting for, and we are there. We're right there today, tonight.
Yeah. I think Southeast is their building holds 8,000. I think that they can allow 20-25%. So that would put it in the 1,500 range for the game. And so, you know, maybe people decide that they'll go to the game, and they're going to require masks. And I don't know if they're going to do symptom checks. They are with those of us who are going to work the game. They're going to do symptom checks when you get into the building, check your temperature and things like that. But I think we saw with the football game on October 30th, Tom, that live sports matters. And there's been so few in Southern Illinois at any level that it really matters in our area, because the response, even though fans were disappointed and angry that they couldn't come to the game, at least they could listen and watch the game. And those numbers were significant. And I personally detected a bounce in people's spirits the day of the game and then a couple of days after the game, because it gave you a game to talk about. It gave you something in the present to talk about.
Right.
And I think that'll be the case tonight. And I know it sure is for me, selfishly, because it's what I do. And so it's an exciting day today, and I hope people will watch. I hope people will listen tonight.
All right. And, of course, you can hear that on WCIL-FM. You can hear it online through the app for that radio station as well, or just go to their website and listen to it online as well. You know, it's interesting, and I didn't think about it till this morning. I was listening to one of Matt Varney's sportscasts, that there's been so little exposure to other teams, you really don't know how good you are. So I guess,
no.
Is that what we're waiting to learn tonight?
Yeah, I think Southern's better in some areas, Tom, but I don't know, because all I've seen them do is practice against each other since September. And I think if they had to practice against each other another day or two, they might fight each other. And so it's not, it's just time to play somebody else, and hopefully there won't be any last-second hiccups. It doesn't appear that there will be. Both teams will be tested this morning, but the outcomes determine that. And so we've seen enough surprises. But both clubs have been, were negative on Monday, and that will be key tonight. And so, no, I don't know. It seems like they have more depth. It seems like they're a better rebounding team. It seems like they have more guys who can score. I'm concerned about free throw shooting, unless it's the right guys. I'm concerned about defensively enough guys wanting to play, and I'm interested to see, if it seems like the rebounding is better, but that has to be proven. So there's a lot of question marks tonight. Simo's answered some questions because it's played one game, but they still have a bunch of questions too.
Yeah, I come from the Gene Hale of school of basketball. On free throws. If you don't make them the first game, I guarantee you will after running all the laps for the next week. That was how that was fixed. That fixed it. 100 laps. What do you mean 100?
They say sports don't matter as a kid.
Right? I guarantee you they do.